and you're listening to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And it is Sunday, another beautiful Sunday, July 22nd at 10 a.m. Central Time. And today's topic is cured meats causing mania. Oh, my God. Now, as always, this is from the medical industrial complex itself. Now, I have to tell you that in medical school, back in 1979 through 1983, the years I went, we were taught that the American diet was perfect. If a person had a condition or a problem, it could not possibly be their diet. Don't even ask. Because they live in America, a first world country, not a third world country, then their diet cannot possibly be at fault for their condition. So, in view of this information, let's see what the latest is. This is July 19th, hot off the press. Cured meats strongly, independently, that means all by themselves, are tied to increased mania risk. For your information, we have to say what mania is. Always good to know what we're talking about. So it's an illness marked by periods of great excitement, euphoria, delusions, and overactivity. Synonyms: madness, derangement, dementia, insanity, lunacy, psychosis. You get the idea. So eating cured meats is associated with madness, derangement, dementia, insanity, lunacy, and psychosis. All right? So let's be clear that that's what we are talking about. This is a severe problem. And in medical school, we were taught that mania was characterized by delusions and overactivity of such severity that it led to either attempts at homicide or suicide. Action requiring the intervention of the police or some government agency to contain it. So that gives you an idea of what mania is. This is serious stuff. This is the stuff that can, well, ruin families. So let's see what Medscape Family Medicine says about this. This is going on to all family medicine doctors and any other doctor who cares to read it. And it says, eating nitrite-cured meats, such as beef jerky and other processed meat, snacks, has been strongly linked to an increased risk for mania, new research shows. Okay? So a study of 1,100 adults, we say pick the number, sample number greater than 50, that's good, showed that those who were hospitalized for a manic episode were more than three times more likely to have ever eaten nitrate-cured meats than those who did not have a history of a serious psychiatric disorder. Wait a minute. Who in America has never eaten a nitrate-cured meat? Raise your hand if you never had bacon. Come on. Or even if you have not had bacon, maybe you had beef that was cured. So we looked at a number of different dietary exposures, and cured meat really stood out. It wasn't just that people with mania have an abnormal diet, said Dr. So-and-so of Johns Hopkins. So diet is critical to mental health. Oh my God, you had to do a research study in July 19th of 2018 to figure out that diet is critical to mental health. All right. Okay, well, it's good they caught up with the rest of us. It's good. We're encouraged. It has been increasingly recognized that diet is a source of environmental factors that may contribute to bipolar disorder and other neuropsychiatric disorders. Now, prior to this, mental illness was considered to be exclusively intrinsic, an intrinsic property of the human being itself, maybe genetic or family or whatever. But this is the first admission that it can be linked exclusively to diet in many people. In other words, if they just change their diet, they wouldn't be crazy anymore. To investigate further, and it's good they did, researchers collected demographic, that means where the person lives, how tall are they, that kind of stuff, health and dietary data on 758 adults aged 18 to 65 who had been diagnosed with mania or other psychiatric disorders, and a control group of 343 adults who had not been diagnosed with a psychiatric disorder. Fluid exposures were assessed using a questionnaire developed by the research team that asked participants whether or not they had eaten certain types of food. Now here's the bombshell. After adjusting for potential confounding factors, a history of eating nitrate-cured meats such as beef jerky and meat sticks, but no other meat or fish products, was strongly and independently associated with current mania. So in other words, this person, these sick, ill people, ate beef jerky and meat sticks. And I don't know if they ate no other meat products or if the other meat and fish products were not a problem. Not clear. Nitrate-cured meats in the diet were not associated with the diagnosis of any other neuropsychiatric disorder, including schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, bipolar disorder, which, by the way, is mania, bipolar depression includes mania, or major depressive disorder. So in other words, these people had an off-the-charts effect of madness, hyperactivity, and literally bordering on violence. It looked like there might be some increase in some of the other disorders, so it might not be specific for mania, but at the sample size we had, it was not significant, in other words, for other psychiatric disorders. We just need larger numbers to look at bipolar depression and major depression. No other foods were found to be substantially associated with mania or any other of the other disorders. The questionnaire did not ask about the frequency or timing of cured meat consumption, so the investigators were not able to draw conclusions about how much cured meat in the diet may boost mania risk. It's a question they plan to assess in a future study. Now, I just have to say, having been in the medical arena for over 30 years, bordering on 40 years, ouch. Actually, it's, 40 years. When they say that they're going to do future studies, the future studies generally never materialize. So we pretty much, this is what we're going to get. We have to figure out what we want to figure out based on this. All right, further evidence. Evidence is always nice. Consistent with their results in humans, a series of experiments performed in rats, healthy rats, showed mania-like hyperactivity in the animals within a few weeks of their being maintained on diets to which nitrates had been added. All right. The animals were also found to have alterations in brain pathways that had been implicated in human bipolar disorder, as well as changes in intestinal microflora that would be bacteria. In contrast, rats fed a high diet in meat prepared without nitrates did not show behavioral changes or hyperactivity. The investigators point out that it's important to note that the amount of nitrates consumed by the rats was equal to the amount of a human might ingest in a daily snack, such as one hot dog or one stick of beef jerky. So the question is, was it adjusted on a weight basis? We don't know. We tried to make sure the amount of nitrate used in the experiment was in the range of what people might reasonably be eating. So in other words, one stick of beef jerky a day was enough to totally throw these rats off their game. Investigators note, to the best of their knowledge, this is the first study linking exposure to cured meats with a neuropsychiatric disorder. While further investigations are needed, individuals at risk for mania may consider limiting ingestion of added dietary nitrates, they write. Now, this is a bombshell, another one. The impact of diet underestimated. So commenting on the findings for Medscape, a doctor who's a director of psychosis program at Mount Sinai in New York said that although interesting, studies in humans and animals stop short of proof of causation. Okay. Certainly, many people in a disorganized state who don't get regular meals may have more intake of turkey jerky because it's convenient or fast or easy. I do see patients who buy a bag of turkey jerky rather than healthful nutrition, she said. With such a finding, and while evidence accumulates, it may be worthwhile for patients with severe mental illness to avoid these kinds of food. How about people who don't want to get mental illness? Diet is crucial in mental health, and I think we have underestimated the impact of diet for brain health, and we need to keep pursuing studies of dietary intakes and supplements and mental health. In other words, let's study, but let's not take any action of intervention. Let's just keep that study going. The study was supported by the National Institutes of Mental Health and the Stanley Medical Research Institute. The authors have disclosed no relevant financial relationships. All right. So this is very, very interesting. I will say it has been my experience in the years of practicing medicine from up until 2000 when I stopped practicing medicine and beyond, that diet is critical. You can take a person stark raving mad. I mean stark raving mad. Schizophrenia, someone who trashes the house, breaks glassware, breaks the windows, attempts suicide, attempts homicide, whatever. Change your diet and you've got a reasonable human being who will even say, oh my God, I must have been crazy. How did I even think of doing those things? So diet is absolutely pivotal. Now, to look at this study, to understand this study, you have to look at what happened here. What happened was they found this was a problem with beef jerky. All right? Beef jerky and beef sticks. Now, maybe you can generalize that to smoked ham or bacon. Maybe you can't. But let's just see what's in beef jerky. This was an eye-opener for me. Sugar. And they said sugar, so it's white sugar. So we have white sugar in beef jerky. Well, what does that mean, white sugar? Well, white sugar is devoid of B vitamins and minerals. So when you put white sugar in, you've immediately starved the body for B vitamins and minerals, which is critically what the brain needs to function and stabilize itself. So we've added sugar here. We got water. We're going to presume it's purified, given the benefit of the doubt there. Soy sauce solids. What the heck is that? Well, it's wheat. Call it white flour. Again, devoid of B vitamins and minerals, and a challenge to the brain. Soybeans, shown, especially when presented as tofu, to create dementia in men in China. Salt, we'll give that a pass. We'll say it's salt, sodium chloride. Natural spices and flavoring, that is a total black hole, all right? That could be any kind of brain poison. We have no idea what that means. But we're just going to give that a pass. We're going to say, hey, you know what? Stuff happens, might be okay. We'll say it's not the culprit. And here's one, soy protein mono, okay, hydrolyzed soy protein, which again is that infamous hydrolyzed protein that creates mental problems. And then, here's a bombshell, monosodium glutamate. If that's not enough for you, try some polysorbate 80, caramel color, which we know causes cancer, and sodium nitrite. So we've got a few brain poisons in this. We got the sugar, the wheat, soybeans, hydrolyzed soy protein, monosodium glutamate, and sodium nitrate. Six brain poisons in this one food. And what do the doctors do? Oh, it must be the sodium nitrate. It may be, but put it with five other brain poisons and wow, you're going to go stark raving mad. I mean, stark raving mad, out of your natural mind, as they used to say in the ghetto, out your natural mind. So let's just take a look. Don't take my word for it. Let's take a look at the putative culprit, sodium nitrite. So what effects does sodium nitrite have on the brain? Here we are. Sodium nitrite. Yeah, we got it. Okay. So, and this is from drugs.com, and they're pretty much pro drugs. And says, for the consumer, what are some side effects that I need to call my doctor about right away? And doctors give sodium nitrite infusions as a way of dilating blood vessels, by the way. So if you're taking Isodil, you're taking sodium nitrite. So what does it cause? You can feel confused. Well, I'll bet these people who are absolutely manic are confused. Yes, they are. Dizziness or passing out, definitely a mental issue. Numbness and tingling. So this is a poison for the nerves. Headache. And So this can go, it causes problems as serious as passing out, headache, dizziness, seizures, confusion, coma, lightheadedness, generalized numbness, and tingling. You know, as a person is drifting down into these various symptoms, it is quite reasonable that they would develop panic and mania. And combine that with confusion, you know, you've got a problem. You've got a person who's socially disruptive, hyperactive, confused, and even violent. And psychiatric problems, it does cause anxiety. And, of course, it can cause tiredness, weakness, and death. Death. Oh, gosh. So that's one list. This is from drugs.com. And let's see if we can find something else about sodium nitrate. So this is from SFGate. They talk about healthy eating. And so diet is responsible for the highest level of exposure to nitrites due to nitrate fertilizer on crops. And preservatives and cured meats, like deli meat and bacon. Now, this is sodium nitrate. So we're going to take a look at the other ingredients. This is sodium nitrate as an ingredient in cured meats. And so what are the health effects? So it causes methemoglobin. That means that prevents the red blood cells from carrying oxygen. So it deprives your body of oxygen. It can cause birth defects if you're pregnant. And it can cause cancer. So they don't look at their, they didn't mention any or very many psychiatric problems. But the problems they mentioned, I think, are enough. And the shocking part is this, nitrates can be found on your vegetables, just as a part of fertilization practices, and also in cured meats. And what does WebMD have to say? Well, WebMD says, well, yeah, it does cause abnormal heart rhythm, low blood pressure, coma, seizures. And these are less severe effects of confusion, dizziness, feeling faint, head pain, throbbing or pounding. And these are things that can manifest as mania. And other side effects are excessive sweating, feeling anxious, numbness and tingling, rapid heartbeat, throwing up, and trouble breathing. And when I worked at the detention center for teenagers, kids would come in on very high doses of psychiatric medications, and literally they had all these symptoms. And so basically, we can chalk these up to nitrites, but these are basically symptoms of severe poisoning. All right, let's see what else. So that's the nitrites. And so what they've done is they've taken a research study and they researched beef jerky and beef sticks. So these are the two pieces of food, okay? And generalize this to all smoked and cured meats. But wait. They totally ignored all the other ingredients in beef jerky. All the other nerve and brain poisons in beef jerky were just like, meh, ignored. And this is why I feel the value of research is actually quite minimal. But it's a starting point for digging deeper. So that's the sodium nitrate piece. Now, what about the monosodium glutamate? This is something a lot of people try to avoid. But MSG is put into a lot of foods. And really, the only way to avoid MSG is to prepare your own food. And we're going to talk later about how you can make your own really tasty smoked or almost smoked meats. All right. So let's take a look at MSG. Now, this is National Library of Medicine. And it says, Deciphering the MSG Controversy. And this is a credible report published and archived by your government. So we're going to accept this as reasonable research. And so what they have said is MSG is a common flavor enhancer in various canned foods and associated with foods stereotypically in Chinese restaurants, and claimed and tested to have effects including headaches and dizziness. However, the mechanism is not clear. Do we really friggin' care what the mechanism is? No. Does it really produce headaches? That's what we want to know. So let's see what the conclusion is. Oh, materials and methods. What did they do? Oh, so they looked at brain neurons in mice. Oh, well, it is a study. What do you expect? What was the results? The results were, first we determined whether treatment of mature neurons with MSG can cause cell swelling or injury. At 14 days, cell injury was analyzed. And what they found, this is a control, oh my gosh. They found that using 300 micrograms of MSG, that's not a lot of MSG, literally 12 hours after MSG, the neurons were destroyed, dead. Wow. They decide that MSG has its greatest effect on mature neurons. It doesn't seem to damage glial cells. And boiling MSG does not reduce the damage of MSG. So if you cook the MSG, it does not in any way change its form or damage it, or mitigate its negative effects. Vitamin C reduces MSG damage. That's good to know. So pre-treatment of neurons with a low dose of MSG seems to reduce the injury of neurons by following higher doses of MSG. Yeah, right. And so what they have concluded is that boiling MSG is not enough to reduce its toxicity. However, taking vitamin C is effective in reducing the MSG poisoning. More interestingly, we demonstrated that the pre-treatment seems to minimize later effects. So obviously this is a marketing thing for taking low doses of MSG, which the study we read previously said if you eat one piece of beef jerky every single day, you actually have cumulative damage, and the damage gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse without limit. So in conclusion, our study suggests that headaches caused by MSG intake may relate to injury, damage of brain neurons. So the increase of pressure in the brain due to cell swelling is what they postulate as a mechanism. But the point here is the brain is actually damaged. And you keep eating this stuff, you can get mentally retarded. Of course, you can get mania along the way. So this is a, let's see if we can't share this with people, from the National Library of Medicine. There we go. I put that somewhere. There it is. Okay. What else we know about MSG? They talk about adiponectin and leptin. Honestly, I think it's a bunch of, how can I say, gibberish. All you really need to know is when you take a poison, it poisons you, and then it's poison and to avoid it. That's like really simple enough. And all these different postulations and theories, they change literally from week to week, year to year. And it's irrelevant. The relevant thing is, should you be eating MSG? And the answer is probably not. And since we know MSG is damaging to the brain, literally kills brain cells, why do we say that the ingredient in beef jerky that's causing mania is nitrates as opposed to MSG? Or could it be the synergistic effect of both together? Could be. Of course, they didn't test that. But again, you don't need to test that. All you need to know is this stuff is bad news. Now, what are these names? How to avoid MSG side effects by replacement. So MSG may be listed by any of the following names: hydrolyzed vegetable protein, autolyzed yeast, yeast extract, hydrolyzed soy extract, and protein isolate. All of these things are synonyms for MSG. And since people are often asked me to repeat stuff, we'll put it right here. MSG is, there you go. And so the only way to avoid this stuff really, honestly, is to cook for yourself. The labels are so abstruse. Abstruse means difficult to understand and not clear. And of course, we have these names here that are apparent synonyms for MSG, but do you really think they're not going to make a few new names in the future? Of course they will. So the thing to understand is that MSG is a food additive, something that has to be added to your food. And so if you make your own food and you don't add it, you're good to go. Now, so the big deal then is that we've got the sodium nitrate, could be the sodium nitrite, could be the monoinsaturated glutamate, and we know that white flour and white sugar have severe mental effects. What I found in my medical practice was white sugar alone could make somebody manic. I mean, you give someone a good piece of a cheesecake for Christmas, oh my God, they'll ruin the holiday for everybody. So what they did then was they picked a food, we'll call it beef jerky, with tons of mind-altering, brain-damaging ingredients, and picked just one and let all the other ones off the hook. And so what this means for a regular person in evaluating research is it's pretty treacherous business. The conclusions drawn from the research are often not supported by the research. And so the research basically indicates that beef jerky is toxic and dangerous. Now, what is a person to do? What is a person to do? We all love that taste of bacon. So what can you do? So I was thinking about this myself. And bacon could have a lot of health benefits, actually. If you eat bacon that doesn't have all the chemicals and additive, then the fat and cholesterol in bacon is actually beneficial for the brain. And the rind, what's called the rind of the bacon, which is the skin, little piece of skin on the bottom, is also helpful and healthy. So how do you get that part of the bacon without getting the sugar, the wheat, the soybeans, the unnamed natural spices and chemical flavorings, the hydrolyzed soy protein, the monosodium glutamate, sodium nitrate, polysorbate 80, and caramel color? It's a challenge, but it's very easy. So we're going to commercial now, but when we come back, I'll tell you what the simple answer is.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so we're talking about, we know about the dangers of cultured meat or cured meat. It's terrible. It can drive you friggin' crazy, give you arthritis, headaches, coma, even death. So what's a connoisseur to do? I mean, smoked meats, yeah, let's go for it. So what I found investigating this whole thing, because I decided, well, I'm going to make my own bacon. Yeah. I make my own bacon. By golly, I'm not going to take it. So how do you make your own bacon? Well, the internet abounds with instructions. And I've been reading these for years, and I've tried a few of them. So let me go over the basic instructions for making your own bacon and where, as I say, stuff can get sideways. So first, choose the right pork belly. All right. They say choose the right pork belly. I say bacon's awesome. You can't really get the wrong pork belly. But if you want to choose the right pork belly, I recommend the cheek of the pig. It has ultra, ultra tender meat. It gives you an extra wide slice of bacon, and it's extremely tasty. All right, so choose the right pork belly. You've just done it. You've chosen the pork cheek. Got it. Remove the skin. Okay, so they've already got you processing a very important healing portion away from your bacon. So the skin of the bacon lends support to your piece of meat during the curing process. It also helps fortify your skin and make it look like this skin. So you don't want to remove the skin. Keep the skin on. All right. Next, prepare the cure. The basic ingredients are salt and sugar. And this is important, that the basic ingredients are salt and sugar. What I decide to do is I've tried it with and without the sugar. So I've used salt only, and I've used salt and sugar. The sugar adds a little more dimension of flavor to it, but honestly, I found the salt alone to be very satisfactory. All right. An optional curing salt. This is your sodium nitrite. And pepper. So here you are making your own homemade bacon, adding sodium nitrite. Now, at least I do tell you sodium nitrite is optional. And I have never used sodium nitrite when I make my own home bacon. So what I've done is I've left the skin on, very important. I've used salt and really no other ingredients. The first couple of times I did use things like hot pepper flakes, juniper berries, and other aromatic spices, but they really were not worth it because they did not add enough in terms of the flavor of the final product. So I did not bother to add those. And if you price juniper berries lately, they are very expensive. You don't want to put them in any dish where you can't tell if they're there. No. All right, so cure the pork belly. Now, this is important. You have to listen to this, and then we're going to talk about what this means. Okay, arrange the belly on a rimmed baking sheet, which that's what I use. Season and rub it on both sides with the salt. Yes. Place the belly in a large, sturdy, resealable plastic bag in a foil pan or roasting pan in the bottom shelf of your refrigerator. Cure the bacon for 5 days, turning it over each day. This is important. As a cure, okay, listen to this, dehydrates the bacon. Liquid will gather in the bag. It's supposed to think of it as brine. Okay, so this is another problem with curing process, is it severely, severely dehydrates the bacon. And a lot of bacon comes out in this process. And depending on who you read online, they might tell you to actually cure it for another 5 days. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that you take even more water out of the bacon. So what I found when I cured it for 5 days was when the final bacon, when I would fry it, would go shh. It really just shrivel up. And that's because there was so much water still remaining in the bacon. If you put sugar in your bacon when you cure it, then what happens is when you fry it, it sticks to the pan and the sugar actually burns. And that's really annoying. And so I left the sugar out for that reason. Now, so the curing process severely dehydrates the bacon. And so now when you eat the bacon, it's dehydrated. And that can affect your disposition negatively. All right, rinse and dry the belly. So now you rinse it and you dry it. Next, you put it on a wire rack, and then they say let it set for overnight. And then they talk about smoking it. I personally do not smoke the bacon. I don't do that just because it's too much trouble. So what I found then is taking the pork cheek, slicing it in quarter-inch slices, putting it in a Ziploc bag with salt and just leaving it there in the refrigerator or freezer indefinitely gave me something that tasted a whole lot like bacon. And I could use that to flavor beans. I could fry it for bacon. There's a lot of things that could be done with that. And when you do that, you actually get the flavor of the salt, the flavor of the pork, and you avoid the sugar, the wheat, soybeans, hydrolyzed soy protein, monosodium glutamate, sodium nitrate, polysorbate 80, and caramel color that can damage your health. And if you have kids, this forms an incredibly, just a great snack. In other words, you can cure the pork like this in your own refrigerator. Take a piece out. When you take it out, you should rinse it. And then you can chop it. I chop it in little strips, kind of horizontally across the bacon, and fry it. And that makes a very nice, salty finger snack. But you see a lot of things like this on the internet where they give you an 8-step process and only takes 1 month. And at the end of the process, you've got, what, like 1 pound of goodness or whatever. And it causes you unnecessarily to throw up your hands and say, oh, I might as well go buy it. But when you think about it, slicing a piece of meat and throwing it in a bag with salt is pretty darn easy. Now, obviously, you can do this with beef. You can slice the beef very thinly and throw it in a bag with some salt to cure. And then as you want, so if it cures for, say, 5 days in the bag, then you can take it out, rinse it, cook it, and eat it as is. Or you can use it as an accent in your vegetables. Or you can let it cure longer and boil it with your beans for flavoring. So you can satisfy your taste or your children's taste for a salty, fun, enjoyable snack very, very simply. And you don't have to ingest all of these poisons. So whenever I read these recipes like this, oh man, you can do this at home yourself, you know, 1 month and give it a little attention every day and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I don't think so. And so you really can adjust it and understand what is the essence of what you're trying to get out of this. Really, all you want is some salt, a salty flavor. And I tell people, like some people, for health reasons or whatever, can't eat pork or shouldn't be eating meat. For those people, just add more salt to your food. There's no shame in it. The shame is in allowing yourself to be poisoned by these purveyors of chemicals. You know, you don't have to be poisoned, and you don't have to have your life taken over by all this home preparation stuff. And I literally have a Ziploc bag of, Ziploc bag of pork with salt, and I threw in some spices. It's just sitting in the freezer, and when I cook some beans or something that I want to flavor, I'll just pull out a chunk and just throw it in. And it makes it very simple and very easy. And you don't need to make a production out of it, or as people would say, a federal case. Yeah, federal case. So that's what you can do to avoid this cured meat. And again, if you don't like pork, no problem. Pick another meat. I would strongly not advise turkey because turkey is generally so toxic. So, you know, maybe you want to salt beef. Maybe you want to salt... I don't know about chicken because chicken often is a bit lean, but it seems to me you can definitely salt chicken. Really, the meat of your choice, you can salt it like this. In fact, in Panama, we have a dish where they salt fish. The fish has been salted for who knows how long. And you buy it and you use this fish to flavor beans, and it's amazing. Yes, exactly. So buy fresh, it's called fresh pork. That means it's not been salted. It has not been infused with nitrites, and just slice it as thin as you can, which is probably not going to be very thin, about a quarter inch thick. And I throw about a cup of salt in the one-gallon Ziploc bag, put pork in it, Ziploc it closed, and just massage it to get the pork all over everything. That's James. You're welcome. We updated the Truth File archives. Still working on it. We should be up to date in another week. Peg says, sounds good. I did that once, but it didn't compare to store-bought. So I did it, and I was very disappointed. And one reason I was disappointed was because I didn't cure it long enough. And so when I left it for a week or two or three or more, then I got a flavor that was close to store-bought. Now, another thing about doing it yourself at home is you're not going to be able to slice it as thin. So I developed a taste for a thicker sliced bacon, and that took care of that. But the truth is, the longer you age it, the more flavorful it gets and the more satisfying it is. And it will keep literally forever. All right, we got a lot of things here. Okay, so Nick says, personally, I use Himalayan pink salt. I've heard a lot of good stuff about Celtic sea salt. Important to get genuine salt. There are a lot of brands that use additives. So I would just say get salt. Not necessarily important whether it's pink salt or Celtic salt. So I live on an isthmus. That's a narrow piece of land that connects North and South America. And so we have incredible amounts of ocean salt for like 15 cents a pound. And so I use the ocean salt. Wherever you live, there's generally a salt source nearby. I'm from Syracuse, New York, and the main street is called Salinas Street, which is Salt Street. And they used to mine salt there. So obviously you could just purchase mined salt nearby someplace where you live and use that. Okay. How much salt and what kind? Yes, so one cup of salt per 1 gallon freezer bag. And I use the local salt from the local ocean. Marie says, don't let babies go to bed with a bottle unless it's water. Absolutely. In fact, don't let them drink from a bottle at all unless it's water, because it can rot their teeth. Is Celtic sea salt better? I don't know. I've never tried it. Oh. Idlema Reed, I'm taking my Vitality capsules. Yay, Idlema, thank you. So Dave said smoking bacon is difficult because it's hard to keep it lit. There are a lot of electronic smokers out there on the market, and I was going to go buy an electronic smoker, but that's a lot for my logistics person to manage. So I said, forget it. Stephanie says, wow, MSG, the Japanese sprinkle MSG in their food, just like we use salt. Correct. And even the Chinese do, and it's called Japanese salt. And a lot of recipes, they'll say Japanese salt or Chinese salt. And they're actually referring to MSG. And many people don't know this. And they'll go buy Japanese salt for the recipe. But don't do that. Just substitute regular salt. Sarah says, well, what about the iodine missing from the salt? We need salt to function our thyroid. Okay, so you're scrambling a lot of things there. You need iodine for your thyroid to function. And your salt may not have iodine. And so you get your iodine from other foods, like seaweed or shellfish, if you're not allergic. Doc, no smoke flavor? No, I don't use smoke flavor. I used to use a brand of liquid smoke that was natural and had nothing but water and smoke in it. But I ran out and I couldn't get my logistics person to obtain some more for me, so I just stopped using it. And I really haven't missed it. Marie says she's a glass baking pan. Yes, but you're putting it in Ziploc bags. The baking pan just kept it. All right, we're going to commercial.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so what we're talking about then is how you can make your own tasty salted meats that are very, very enjoyable. Now, one question people ask is, well, you know, because people don't like pork, what about beef? What about salting pieces of steak? What I have found is that steak is too thick, and that it's better to slice slices of beef as thin as you possibly can. Again, same thing as with the pork, and then to salt them. Okay, so Sarah says, how can I cure reverse T3 serum? If the number is high, the number is irrelevant. All you want is your TSH and your T4. If those are good, you're good to go. Leave the rest alone. Stephanie, I have a package of seaweed, and on the package it states it causes cancer. Is this one of those things that's healthy and they don't want us to eat it? Hard to say. So you want to understand, Stephanie, is go ahead and call the person or company that manufactures the seaweed and ask them if the seaweed is radioactive, if it has heavy metals in it, what seems to be going on here. And they can tell you. They'll level with you. And they'll say, you know what, we have to put a cancer warning on that because the government's determined that everything from the oceans causes cancer. In which case, all right. Turpentine has a cancer warning on it. It's known to cause cancer in the state of California, only in the state of California. And so when I first used it, as you'll read in my Candida Cleaner report, I was relieved to understand it causes cancer only in the state of California because I was sitting in the state of New York. That gave me great confidence. So, I have a new place people can get my report. It's drjenniferniels.org. So you can get your Candida Cleaner report there. Okay. So Nick says, Doc, could your local salt possibly be magnesium? I don't think so. Well, let me just check that out. What is? Mineral rich mother liquor remains after salt is extracted from seawater. Nigari is what remains after salt is extracted from seawater. So no, what I'm eating is the salt, or using is the salt from the ocean. And the nigari, which is what's left over after the salt is extracted, is not what I'm using. All right, so we've cleared that up. So Donald said, does sea salt help water get into the cells of the body? Absolutely, because your body does not have the ability to move water. Can't do it. But it can move salt, and the water follows the salt. So you need salt for your body to manage the water.
Just standing there, and I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again, you said you would come and dance with me. Dance with me.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.